Well, hopefully you didn't follow my advice last week and keep your eyes on the wheel and hands on the road. I'm going to say it right this week. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Nevada Department of Public Safety is bringing you Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. Got a really fun show today for you, hopefully. Brewer has some topics that he's wanting to talk about that I think should be good. I have some topics. We had some great games last week, some good games this week. Before we get into that, since we're in the opening, I just want to say, I feel like we don't say this enough. Maybe you will agree with me, maybe you don't, Brewer, but last week we may have had the most listened to show we've ever had. More people than ever have been complimenting me on the podcast and YouTube, Brewer, and I just want to say thank you so much. We love doing this. We cover a lot of stuff here at Las Vegas Sun, both of us. It's a lot different than some other news gathering organizations, but this is something we look forward to every week, and it really means a lot that people are listening and commenting and interacting with us. So thank you, and I'm sure Brewer feels the same.
I do, and go download our podcast at iTunes, Prep Sports Now. We're up to nearly 300 downloads a week, so that's pretty good, and it's a great form of entertainment. It's a good way to be involved in the games, and
without people who listen at the site,
we have a lot more people that listen to the site. So thanks for listening and supporting us and letting us be part of the Friday night tradition. Speaking of tradition, you watched the NBC game because I know we talked about this. I'm sure a lot of
I watch every NFL game.
Yeah,
you're pretty ridiculous.
And then on Monday you watch the coaches tape.
Yeah, and then I watch the coaches tape Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, so right at the beginning of the game, the Giants get the ball, and the Giants O and the Philly D introduce themselves. So it's Eli Manning, Ole Miss,
like every Sunday night game.
Amon Bradshaw, Marshall. It gets to Philly, and one of their guys who went to De La Salle is like Joe Smith, De La Salle. And I just thought that was real cool. You know, a high school sports guy, remembering where you came from. And I just had the idea for the listeners, would you say if you had the opportunity to make the NFL and you had one game on the Sunday night broadcast, because some of these guys get on 10 times, so they're able to mix in their high schools every once in a while. But you get one shot at it, would you say your high school or your college?
I think we're going to disagree pretty adamantly on this because – to be honest, it drives me crazy when people say they're high school. This is football night in America is what it's supposed to be called. America's game. Does America care about your high school in Idaho or even your high school in Southern Nevada or something? They want to know where you went to college. So if it's an offensive lineman, I want to know that he went to Idaho. I don't want to know that he went to, you know, Boise Central. So I think you go with your college. I know you are a high school purist. You love the high school game. I love the high school game, too, and I have no problem with guys. I love Nnamdi Asamoah. Said it really fast last night on Sunday Night Football. He got both his high school and UC Berkeley in there. I think it was made for colleges. I think you stick to your college unless you've been on a ton. People know where you went to school. Like, if Eli Manning, who everyone knows went to Ole Miss, wanted to throw in his high school, I'd have no problem with it. But in general, I really like sticking to the college.
And I see your mindset, but I just think like you know, Ronnie Stanley, who went to Gorman and is now at Notre Dame, who everybody thinks may have a shot to potentially go pro, or maybe he does or maybe he doesn't.
Maybe Nathan Starks?
Maybe Nathan Starks. Is Nathan Starks going to say, "Hi, I'm Nate Starks, University of Oklahoma," which I assume is where he's going to eventually commit.
Really?
Yeah. That's inside trader information right there for you.
Glad we got it out. Not inside information anymore.
Yeah. Or do we say, "Hi, I'm Nate Starks, the..." No. He would say, "Nate Starks, Bishop Gorman High, GATA," which is their little insider, their secret phrase that they give.
Ah, GATA.
GATA. Interesting. Or do I say, see, I would say, "Ray Brewer, the Chaparral Cowboys."
You would. I know that you would. Look, I do think it's cool for the high school to get mentioned like that. That's why I have no problem with it after a while, but I kind of just don't like it at first. I understand your point.
Do you remember when I think NBC first got the Sunday night deal, they went around and they did some high school filming?
Oh, yeah, they used to do that before every game. Yeah. The biggest high school game. I remember that.
Yeah, so they were in my dad's hometown, Steubenville, Ohio, the first ever game.
Which you just showed me some pizza from that looked disgusting.
Yes. Shout out to, I can't even remember, Giancarlo's in somewhere in West Virginia.
Brewer goes, "Look at this pizza. Look how good it looks." And it literally was a square cut of pizza just with four layers of pizza sauce and like two pieces of cheese sprinkled on. I'm like, this does not look appetizing.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if you ever get to Weirton, West Virginia, which is a hop, skip, and a jump from Pittsburgh, you got to go to DeCarlo's, the best pizza ever. I will go to my grave.
Just don't look at the pictures beforehand.
No, I mean, you're just like here, everybody, oh, what's your favorite pizza in Vegas? Oh, Balboa Pizza Company or something with where they throw, you know, avocados and pineapples and something, even though I do like the pineapple pizza on top of it. This is pure square pizza, 50 cents a square, pepperoni and cheese, the grease dripping on your shirt, 50 cents a slice. I'm Ray Brewer, the Chaparral High Cowboys.
I'd be Case Kiefer, Kansas, and maybe after I'm on Sunday Night Football a few times, I could say Kansas Wichita Collegiate. And then hopefully someday we hear Nate Starks, University of Kansas.
No way he goes to Kansas.
Hey, Charlie Weiss, we got an offensive.
I don't care. I don't care. Kansas is – no. I'd rather go to UNLV.
Forget Oklahoma.
Would you say like Case Kiefer, Rock Chalk Jayhawk?
No. I'm a traditionalist. I like just the straight-up school.
Okay.
So you wouldn't say Ray Brewer, UNLV.
No, and I'm super proud that I went to UNLV, but, you know, the opportunity to have your small school and all those kids trying to chase their dreams, you're not just saying that you went to Gorman or Shap. You're saying how proud you are to represent all your teammates and the people you played with in the NFL. That's what they're saying.
All right, well, people are then going to Google Chaparral High and four other Chaparral High. If you said Shap, four other Shaps come up first. And then the next thing that does come up, I do like this. The first thing that comes up is Chaparral football, and it has our guy Bill Froman, the coach's video from LasVegasSun.com.
Yes, and you'll find out that the creator of CSI went to Shap, members of the Killers went to Shap, pretty little select group. Ray Brewer went to Shap.
Yeah, there you go. So Shap having a kind of a turnaround year, right?
Hey,
pretty good in football this
look
year.
Look what happens when you get in the weight room. It's that simple. The formula case for high school football is so easy. I mean, you think coaching is like an exact science? All you got to do is get the 40 kids in your program from January to May to lift the weights three times a week, and you're in. You want to win two more games next year? Lift weights.
I think we've talked about this a lot, and I actually wrote about it for my preview this year, but if you talk to the people at Arborview, they say that's what really turned around their program, too. I mean, if it was just three, 4 years ago when I first got here, that they were just fighting to get into the playoffs. New school, never gotten into the playoffs. Now they have one of the best off-season programs, if you talk to anyone around town, and look at what they're doing. I mean, they're the second or third best team around.
Yeah, and when I was at Arborview, they actually, this is during the school day, they lift with a purpose. You know, everybody has a station, everybody has a partner they lift with. They increase their weights as the class goes on. It's planned out. And then you go to some other gyms, and they're in there for 35 minutes. You know, there's rap music going on, which
eating
I guess...
Eating some Cheetos.
Yeah, eating some Cheetos in the corner. And, you know, you got your three guys that are your best players. They're lifting. But, you know, you need all 11 plus some of your twos to do anything to have it.
And it totally pays off. I haven't seen Chaparral, but I'm assuming that maybe some teams they're evenly matched, which they're pushing around because they're stronger. Arborview, if you watch them, like I went to the Centennial game, Centennial man for man, I'm probably repeating myself again, but they're bigger than them. A lot of these teams are bigger than them, but they're the ones kind of doing the directing. They're the ones deciding where things are going to be. They just seem stronger than everyone else. So that's one thing. You know, a lot of times I will sit here and shake my head and think some of the traditions are cliche or a little bit ridiculous, but lifting, one thing coaches preach that's true. I mean, getting in the weight room makes just a gigantic difference.
Okay, so if Arborview is this big, strong, physical team, one of the elite teams in town, top three, right?
Right.
Where does that put Green Valley? Because remember, Green Valley opened with Arborview. It was Arborview's second game, Green Valley's first game. You always got to give a team a mulligan on the first game because it takes a while for them to get into it. So Green Valley falls behind 28-0, and then they only lose 28-19, don't give up any points in the second half.
Should that
have been an eye-opener to me that Green Valley was a little better than I thought?
That should have been an eye-opener, and I'm kind of kicking myself because I really didn't know much about this Green Valley team, so I kind of just piggybacked on you and believed
whatever you told me.
Well, I did. I didn't know anything about Green Valley.
Do your own homework. What do you mean?
And I'm trying to be careful because – at Green Valley, if you say they're fast, they're mad at you because they want you to call them faster. If you say they're great, they want you to say they're superior. So I'm trying not to step on too many toes, but they've had a great year, and there's no doubt about it. They're an elite team. They beat Basic this week. You were at the game, second straight Henderson Bowl win. I mean, I don't know how to answer your question other than to say I'm very impressed with Green Valley, but there's always a caveat. Now everyone at Green Valley will hate me as much as they hate you.
Yes.
I do remember last year this team was unbelievable at the beginning of the year, beat up on everyone, and
Amen.
Then faded down the stretch.
Amen. I hear you.
What if that happens here?
Well, who knows? Well, I think the league they're in is going to prevent that from happening.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. Green Valley is very young. Their quarterback's a sophomore. Christian Lopez, his brother was Amir, the quarterback at Vegas back in the day, and Brandon, who was a great defender for Green Valley as well, he's better than them both. He doesn't have Brandon by far had the heart of a tiger, and that guy would go into every game, but Christian's got the most talent. But Green Valley's winning with a lot of younger players, and while we mentioned the Chavez kid, and we mentioned Gio Hernandez, the running back who had that big kick return. Who cares about those two guys? Defensively, Case, they held Bavonte Boyd to three catches for like 14 yards, maybe 20 yards.
That's pretty incredible.
29 incomplete passes for the Basic quarterback. They double-teamed Boyd every play, and they let Johnson get his, and he got his a few times, three times. But the Basic passing game was a non-factor. And Green Valley played great defense. They got great quarterback pressure, and they won the game. They simply outplayed them. And I think what's really cool for me is that, okay, Henderson Bowl's been around 22 years. Green Valley opens in 91, becomes the second school in Henderson. Green Valley, blue collar, rich, great at everything. Basic, white collar, no, blue collar, basic, Green Valley, white collar. Green Valley rich, Basic poor. Green Valley good at everything. They beat Basic in everything. And Basic, Green Valley beat them six times in a row. They really didn't even care about winning the game because they're winning by 40 or 50 points every game. Now this game is a huge rivalry, and I'd argue that Green Valley cares more. They got beat Basic shirts. Their fans, they traveled very well. They were loud the whole time. And just to see the kids' reactions when they won and on Twitter, how they truly cherished the moment, totally earned my respect. I think Green Valley's great. I don't know if they have any elite players, but what they do have is they have a group of kids right now at the school, and I'm talking every sport. They won the wrestling state championship. They were a shot away from going to the high school boys state championship game in basketball. And now this football team, there's a bunch of gritty, hardworking kids that find a way to win.
Right, and I'm looking, maybe I should rescind my earlier statement. The rest of their schedule is Valley, Vegas, Rancho, Canyon Springs, and Silverado. At worst, I see them losing one game, and they could conceivably run the table here. I'm saying that game with Canyon Springs looks pretty interesting right about now.
Is that game at their place or Canyon?
That game is at their place, which you say doesn't matter. But
it doesn't matter, but I will tell you.
I think it matters big. I will take them in that game right now, I'll tell you.
You know,
Thursday Night Lights game.
It's a Thursday Night game. They're going to have 1,000 people at that game on the hill watching. That's a tough place to play. The Swamp, the Green Valley Swamp. The one thing I don't know, Green Valley, what it does lack is overall team speed. They don't have
I can't even wait to hear what they're going to say
now.
That's
the truth. So they don't have a guy that could take it to the house, nor do they have a guy that can match up to DJ Pumphrey. Now, I would have said the same thing going into the Basic game and how they couldn't contain Devontae and Antre. And Antre got his because he touched the ball a little more out of the backfield. Now, is Pumphrey going to be able to get his because he's guaranteed to touch the ball?
That's true. And Pumphrey, nice segue here. I don't know if you still want to talk about Green Valley.
Go on to the next
you
game.
You brought up Pumphrey, which I have to talk about the game I was at.
DJP.
Another very good game. Liberty and Canyon Springs. Liberty did a pretty good job against Pumphrey. I think before he broke one for 72 yards and a touchdown, and then the next time he touched the ball, ran a punt return back for 45 yards. I think that Liberty had held him to something like 12 carries for 36 yards, so he's getting like 3 yards a carry. But
that wasn't him. That was the Canyon Springs
line.
Here's
what I want to say.
Oh,
I was at the game, And a couple people are telling me, like, oh, I can't wait to hear what you say about Pumphrey next week. And we even got a comment on my story. It's like, I can't wait to hear what Case says about Pumphrey this week. Am I crazy? This made me higher on the kid, his performance against Liberty. Liberty, we talked about it last week, and it totally ended up being true. Absolutely dominant up front, in my opinion, on the offensive side of the ball. They were better, clearly better. There was no doubt they had a huge edge there. Pumphrey is not getting much blocking and still having to work with it. He had 3 yards per carry before that, which wasn't great. But that's why you, a kid like him, you just keep giving him the ball, because you know he's going to break one. He breaks one for 72 yards, jukes about 4 or 5 guys on the play, takes the next punt back. He single-handedly has Canyon Springs in this game. Without him, I think the score is, what, 23-20. I'm sorry if that's wrong. Liberty won by 3. Without Pumphrey, they win by like 24, I think, maybe even 4 touchdowns. The kid is unreal. This game made me higher on him. Am I crazy?
And then I guess that brings me back to my first point with Green Valley. Once Pumphrey graduates from Canyon, I think this is Green Valley's league for the next 2 years.
Wow.
I think they're undefeated.
The Las Vegas Wildcat homer. Just off of that bandwagon?
I'm not off of it completely, but they're clearly in a down cycle. So it's just a matter of before that crashes and burns a little bit.
I think every team in this division, with the exception of Canyon, is going to think you hate them.
No, listen, everybody knows. I have to watch what I say, because this entertaining podcast sometimes.
This is for fun. We're just trying to have fun, trying to cover the sport
fun
in a different way.
Listen, the one thing I do, and you guys know this is true, I go out to a lot of practices. I see a lot of football. And what I say might be right 80% of the time. It's not like I'm grasping at straws here. Mm-hmm. I've been wrong. I'm always wrong. I wake up every day and I know I'm wrong. I was wrong on Green Valley. My initial evaluation, completely wrong. I don't know football. I never played football. I don't know what a 3-4 is or a 4-3. I don't care. I know what big is.
I think you know what a 4-3 and a 3-4 is.
But I know what a big, strong, physical team is. I know what an organized team looks like. And Green Valley, by the way, not to go back to this game, they got like 9 or 10 coaches on the sideline, all of which know what they're doing, all of which coach throughout the whole game. I'm telling you right now, the difference between teams that are winning like Green Valley and losing like some of the other teams, it's all coaching. Some schools have the luxury of having 9 people on the sidelines. So when your whole defense, like, they gave up a long run to Andre Johnson and it looked bad for them. They're down by double digits. You see the defensive coordinator and D-line coach over there talking to the entire defense. You don't see that in most schools.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying, because I think you were wrong saying the Green Valley was going to be not very good this year, which makes me wrong too, because I agreed with you. But what I don't think you were completely wrong is, I know you couldn't be just this wrong on a team. You must not have been impressed with their pieces. They have better pieces than you thought too, but it can't be that much better. I think it says that they're one of the best coach teams in town.
They
I
are.
Mean, top five. The coaching job they're doing over there, whatever they're doing, they're eating their Wheaties in the morning, I guess.
See, and when I went over there the first time, they didn't even have a court. They were choosing between Chavez and Lopez at quarterback. And maybe I was watching the Chavez kid because he couldn't throw the ball that well. And, you know, they didn't have a running back. They lost Aaron Love, right? And they're young at several spots. We knew they had the Crosby hit kid. We knew they had the Robert Carter kid. We knew they had a few other pieces on defense. I can't say the kid's name, so I don't want to embarrass him. I believe it was 92. You pull it up. It's a Polynesian kid, and you know I can't. Polynesian names I couldn't.
Hey, that's speaking of the kid I wanted to mention from Liberty. I was very worried about saying his name. Reno Tufuli or something. This kid's a junior and is one of the best kids I've seen in town all year.
What position?
Defensive lineman. I asked Rich Morocco, Liberty coach, after the game, and he kind of smirked. Like, it was kind of like, why in the world has no one else noticed this guy? I mean, the guy is he had an interception the first play of the game. He breaks through, bats down a pass, intercepts it, sets up Liberty for a score, which I guess you could say was the difference in the game. This guy, next year, this guy's got to get a lot of attention. He's only a junior.
Nobody notices players on the line better than you do, by the way.
I hope so. Hey, another kid I love, we were going to mention last week, I was at Centennial. I don't know, I guess because he plays offensive line. They only rotate him in. Centennial has a lot of defensive linemen. This kid at Centennial, Jordan Karst. I don't know if I just saw his two best games of his career or what, but I'm high on him too. He come down the line and make some big tackles, a big physical kid. That's another kid I like on the line in town.
That's Case Kiefer. He notices all the linemen.
I'm having trouble finding 92.
No, this kid right here. Let me pull up his name. Oh, it's 90. My fault. Go ahead. Well, there you go.
This is even harder than I thought it would be. Kitai Salakilu.
Nonetheless, he put a funny tweet out on Twitter. He said, "Basic tried to block me with four guys, and I still got to the quarterback." Pretty accurate.
Hey, do you love how Twitter has just changed?
Changed my life.
It's changed not only your life, but high school football. I hear so many coaches talk about, oh, this team's saying this on Twitter. These guys are saying this on Twitter. I remember when I was in high school, there was one message board on one of the papers in Kansas, and every once in a while someone would get on there and talk trash, and it was like the biggest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Now every single person has a Twitter. Every single person has a Facebook. I love how that's kind of changed the dynamics of pregame hype.
All the hype right here, prep sports now.
That's for sure.
We're hyping the games, baby.
I guess we got
to. So just real fast before we move on, Canyon is clearly the second best team in the Sunrise. Was that a preview, as I said, of the potential Sunrise championship game?
I certainly think so, and I would lean that way right now. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to the Canyon-Green Valley game. I think Green Valley's in the conversation. And we always like to talk about a couple big games during the week. What about one of the bigger games this week? It'd probably be Liberty and Coronado, right?
I would think so.
Does Coronado have a shot here?
Well, here's the deal. I thought Coronado was the real deal. I thought that they were much improved. They played great defense last year. Obviously, I think the world of Brad Talich. And then they go and they just lay an egg in the fourth quarter against Green Valley. And I don't know what to expect from them. Are they a year away? I will say they don't have a burner. Not that many teams do, but last year, Coronado, Capelli, Liberty held out Capelli. Coronado, which was god-awful last year, gave them a little bit of a challenge. And now Coronado's kind of got the what do you call it? The internet muscles.
Coronado does.
Yeah,
that's what I was hearing from people at Liberty.
Yeah. Coronado has not hesitated telling anybody that they're great, and I think Liberty is going to make a statement.
That's weird because I sat in here like 3 weeks ago and said the opposite. Maybe it's the coaching staff is kind of like trying to keep the hype down, but the players apparently are not.
Yeah, I think the kids at Coronado think they're as good, if not better, than the kids at Liberty.
I'll tell you what, I hope they're ready for this Liberty game, because like I said, I was out at Liberty and these kids are fired up for this game. It was like the second Canyon Springs ended, huge game. They were already getting starting to think about Coronado. It's their homecoming. This is going to be a good one. I think that they say that this is the rivalry they care about now that Silverado's not in the division anymore. This is a big one.
And I guess the Del Sol rivalry is dead after they whooped them so bad last year.
And these two programs both look like they're kind of – Liberty is up there. Liberty's rise is over. Now they're up there. Coronado now looks like they're the next program on the rise. This could be a rivalry we see a lot out of in the next few years.
I would agree with you.
One more game before we get into picks I had to ask you about. Moapa Valley and at Boulder City I think is the game of the week. Boulder City's undefeated. Moapa Valley beaten once by a team in Arizona. We got to talk about this lower level game too. I mean, this is huge. Do you think? I still say Moapa's a pretty big favorite here. Am I crazy, or do you think Boulder has a chance to pull off the victory? You've picked against them every week this year, so I'm assuming you're going to say Moapa's going to win by 42.
Well, Moapa barely gives up any points, and they've got the great rushing attack with McConnell and Mortensen. The rep trio is superb for them, and you know, I think all signs point to a Moapa Valley Tahoe Truckee state championship game, and I think this is a nice test for Moapa, and Boulder is done a great job with its rushing attack this year. But I think this week is the week they have to look in the mirror and they realize that they're still a step behind the Pirates of Moapa.
I think it's going to be a relatively close game.
I mean, you know more about these two teams than they do.
I do?
Yeah, I mean, Boulder City's the team, right?
Yeah, I think Boulder City's defense is awfully good, except for the first game. I think it's going to be by far the best Moapa Valley has seen. Moapa Valley has pretty much blown out everyone, but
they've been playing some pretty weak opponents.
Faith Lutheran gave them a pretty good game, too, even though the score indicated otherwise. Faith picked up a lot of yards on them. I think they're going to see some athletes that they aren't used to with Boulder City, or at least they haven't been used to the last few weeks. Xavier Steele is no joke. The kid broke like a 74-yard run in the last game. They're really good defensively. They don't give up many points. I think you'd be crazy to pick against Moapa, but Boulder, I think, has already proven some people wrong by starting this year 6-0.
Yeah, and you got to give Boulder props for going up to Mesquite and beating Virgin Valley there. And executing a last-second field goal that
after missing an extra point, nonetheless.
Yeah, that to me is definitely a notch in their belts.
Yeah, for sure. So that's going to be one game we're definitely looking forward to this week. We have anything else to talk about, or we want to go ahead and get into the picks? I had something else to talk about, but I think it's a little bit long-winded, so I think we might have to save it for another week.
Save it for next week.
All right,
the Chaparral Cowboys. I got them winning this week, just to let you know.
Is this where we're starting?
No, I'm just letting you know. Whenever we get there, I got shot.
All right. Well, why don't we start with the Thursday night game, where until the last 2 weeks we were very split. I think this one, for the second week in a row, we're going to agree that Arborview should probably roll against Durango.
They really should. Listen, I think with McQuaig and Marcus Williams Sanders for Durango, they've got the ability to move the ball, but you saw against Basic that they just can't stop a nosebleed, Durango, and I would assume that Arborview is going to outman them up front, and this is a marquee game the Aggies want to show everybody on TV what they're made of.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I like Arborview in this game by quite a few touchdowns. Valley at Green Valley. For the record, Brewer is on Green Valley. He admits he is wrong, and he's not disrespecting you when he picks you to win by 34. I'm sure the folks at Green Valley want you to pick him to win by 68.
Here's the deal. Green Valley does need to be aware. They can't have a hangover from last week's victory. They can't read too much into their press clippings. They need to go out and make another statement. For as impressive as a win against Basic is, if they open and they put up like a 50 spot on Valley, then Canyon, I think, takes notice.
Instigator Nation, right?
Instigator Nation. Those guys love me. They chanted my name a few times.
There you go. Shout out to Instigator Nation. Shout out to Green Valley, who I think is going to beat up Valley pretty good. And that might not sound like much, but Valley's a pretty decent team. They got some athletes, young team, but I like Green Valley big in this game. Next game, Silverado at Canyon Springs. I'm laughing because do you remember before the year I picked Silverado to win this division?
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that, though. But anyways, so does that mean you're picking Silverado?
No, I am picking Canyon Springs in this game.
Listen, the Cater kid for Silverado is running the ball well. Take away their first game against Coronado, and Silverado's been a pretty good team. They still are big up front, and they are going to be able to run the ball. I don't think they could contain DJ Pumphrey, but if they could get a bounce or two, this could be a real close game, and I say that because they're going to be able to kill some clock with the power running game. They're obviously going to be better than Canyon up front. I still like Canyon, but I think Silverado is going to keep it close, even though I have them losing by – I only losing by 21, 22 points.
The biggest thing about seeing Canyon last week to me was Canyon's defense looked great. Held Liberty to, you know, not many points. The coaching staff credited it to switching some things up. The Liberty coaching staff, that is, that Canyon Springs did some things different that weren't on film, especially up front. I think they can probably catch Silverado off guard again. I think the Canyon Springs wins big here. If Silverado is like a painting, which we usually say, Canyon Springs is like a fire in the art museum.
Okay.
It's going up in flames. Canyon Springs big here. Next game, the Bone game. I know you like this game. Rancho at Las Vegas. You look forward to it, but I don't really know why, because Vegas is going to it's not going to be pretty.
The thing is I just went to Henderson Bowl last week, which is this great rivalry. The kids really like to be part of it. You know, winning the trophy is so significant. And because because Vegas has won, you know, a decade and a half straight of these games against Rancho, you know, the game really has no meaning. I think we know that Vegas is going to beat Rancho every year, even if Vegas is a little bit down right now, Case. I think that they're going to rock and roll through Rancho, and the game is losing some of its luster because Rancho can't even make it a close game. You know, Vegas is winning by 30-plus points every year, and you know, back when before Vegas was located on Sahara, it was in the heart of downtown. Rancho's close to downtown. It was such a rivalry. You know, Rancho was great there in the mid to late 80s, and here we are today. Unfortunately, Rancho needs to win this game eventually before we start caring about it. Vegas big.
Yeah, Vegas big. We're in agreement there. El Dorado at basic. The Wolves are probably going to bounce back here. I think El Dorado could even double-team Devontae Boyd like Green Valley did and not have any success.
Yeah, I guess the bad news for Basic is there's film out there now on how to beat them. And while El Dorado doesn't have the horses to do so, I think later in the year when they hit the playoffs, and who knows who they'll likely play, but I think you plug that tape in and you might have your answers. Give me Basic big in that game, though.
Yeah, Basic big. Because they're in different divisions now, right? Couldn't Basic and Green Valley play early in the playoffs again?
Yeah, there could be a rematch right? in the playoffs.
Could, even the first round, probably, if even Basic got upset by Coronado and Green Valley's the two.
I mean, it could happen. Green Valley's a two, and Coronado beats Basic, and they're the three. Well, we got ourselves a rematch.
Is this still, I think, a topic of conversation? Sorry to keep getting back to this game, but this kind of leads into the next game we're talking about anyway. I think you said the Basic that – this rivalry wasn't as big as Basic Foothill. You still feel that way after Saturday or after Friday? And did you get any feedback?
I got a little feedback from somebody who kind of agreed with me that Coronado's a bigger rivalry. But when you throw the trophy in there, you know, I think that's really what does it. But those kids from Green Valley sure enjoyed themselves afterwards, singing that na 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 na, hey, goodbye. Did you ever sing that song,
no.
Wichita Collegiate?
No, I did not sing that song. Right. I didn't sing many songs.
All right.
No, you wanted to sing Taylor Swift on the podcast today for some reason.
I can't even remember the song.
Well, I'm not going to help you remind you. Del Sol.
Shout out to Taylor Swift for being just the best.
Whatever, I guess. Del Sol at Foothill. Foothill prevails in this high-scoring affair is what you say on the picks.
That's what I say. I was actually torn about this because, you know, I love to pick Del Sol, but they can't stop a nosebleed right now defensively. And even if Foothill's a little banged up, I think they've got enough ammunition left in the old machine gun to pull out a victory.
Right. I got to go Foothill here. I think they're probably better than Del Sol. Foothill usually seems like they get better as the season goes on. I like the Falcons. Next game is Coronado at Liberty, which we've already talked about, but let's get your official pick.
I got Liberty winning big.
You don't think Coronado hangs in at all?
I think Coronado could hang in, but they've kind of lit the fire underneath the belly of the Tiger, the Patriots, and they're a little upset from last year, so I think they come out and they make a statement.
Coronado played a lot of people tough last year, though. It wasn't only Liberty.
Listen,
you never gave them credit, but...
Yeah, I know. Listen, Coronado, we'll find out what they're made of this week because Liberty's beaten Palo, Liberty's beaten Canyon, and they'll likely beat Coronado, and we'll see by what margin, and then we could have a conversation.
Makes sense to me. Palo Verde at Spring Valley. Certainly seems like Palo Verde's season is starting to turn around as we expected at this point.
Yeah, Palo had that rough start to start the season with a tough schedule, even though they hung in some games. They lost to Centennial and they lost to Liberty. Spring Valley ends up forfeiting last week against Arborview Case. A little fight / altercation they got into the week prior with Legacy. I just don't know what to expect from Spring Valley. The coach is going to have to do a great job just to get them ready to play because they're clearly morally defeated after having a forfeit.
Right. I got Palo Verde big, not going out on a limb there. Wow, this next game actually pretty interesting to me. Shadow Ridge at Sierra Vista. Shadow Ridge showed some real signs at the beginning of the year. They've lost some games pretty big since then, had to forfeit, of course, a win. Two wins, excuse me.
I think technically Western has a win.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Western not winless this year. But anyway, I've got Shadow Ridge winning a pretty close game.
I have Shadow Ridge winning as well. Everybody's told me that Bakari Smith is a good player, and I've pumped them up on this podcast. But Darwin Rost, the dean of high school football coaches, who everybody respects, mentioned him when I talked to him on Friday night. And for you to catch Darwin's eye means you're really something special. Best player on the field, Bakari Smith. Victory, Shadow Ridge Mustangs, breaking that losing streak again.
Bishop Gorman at Cimarron Memorial. Gorman is rolling now. Defense, I think, has it two straight shutouts.
Two straight shutouts, eight quarters. Listen, Cimarron used to be a dynasty over in the Sunset. This game was great in the playoffs in 06. Cimarron was the best team in the world in 05. Not the case anymore. Gorman's going to win big.
You have Cimarron scoring two touchdowns, though.
I do. I think that the Justin Davis kid might be, and I might be wrong when I say this, but I think in pads from one goal line to the next, Justin Davis would be the fastest player on the field.
Huh, wow. What about some of those receivers, Tillman and Smith?
Tillman, that means he'd be faster than Tillman, Smith, and Starks, who might not play because he's got a wheel that's banged up a little bit.
A wheel?
An ankle.
Okay. I thought someone slashed his tires, poor guy. All right. I've got Gorman big here. You were calling back, if anyone remembers, when they played in 2006. I remember they played 2009 in the playoffs. It was actually a pretty good game even. I mean, yeah. I think Gorman ended up winning by three touchdowns.
The Sunset Finals in 09.
Yeah, it was still a pretty decent game, so it just shows you Cimarron not quite at the level it once was. But they're having a pretty – I shouldn't be too negative. They're having a pretty good year. One loss, won some close games.
In 06, Gorman had lost twice in the league to Sierra Vista and Spring Valley. I can't believe I said that without laughing.
You did laugh.
And they took fourth in the Southwest. They played at Cimarron to open the playoffs and beat them on a field goal at the end of the game.
Wow, that had to have been a big upset, right?
Yeah, it was pretty big. You know, Gorman was celebrating there like they'd won state. Now in the quarterfinals, they just, you know, roll up their sleeves and they play their JV team in the second quarter. So
could probably play their freshman team if they wanted.
How times have changed.
Right.
Centennial at Dio.
Ooh, kind of an interesting game. They had a close playoff game last year, right? Or the years mixed together. Was
back
it 2 years
back
ago?
Back to back years.
But this year, I feel like Dio's taken a little bit of a step back. I don't think they're quite as strong, whereas I'm pretty high on Centennial still, despite I don't think they're the best of the best, but I think they're the next team outside of the elite tier, which the elite tier right now is pretty much, for me, confined to Gorman, Liberty, Arborview.
Okay, and the next tier is?
You need to help me out here. Who else other than, I guess, Centennial, Green Valley?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're telling me you would take Green Valley over Palo?
No, but I think they're – I know, I wouldn't. I wasn't ranking in order. That group. Green Valley's in that group.
Green Valley's in the second tier parallel to Centennial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Right. What they probably gave Arborview a tougher game than Centennial did after the first half.
That's true.
Don't let the score be misleading to you.
No, they did. They did. You're right.
I take Centennial over Green Valley, but I think they're comparable.
I mean, I just think that second tier would, for me, include Centennial, Palo.
Canyon.
Yeah,
Centennial, Palo, Canyon.
And that's
I would throw Green Valley in there. Maybe okay. Green Valley
one
and
game
Cor-
here.
Maybe
they
even
won
Coronado
one game.
And Moapa Valley.
No.
Moapa Valley, no.
Who do you like better, Moapa or Green Valley?
Oh, that would be a good game. That'd be a real good game.
Okay. I mean, we could talk all day about Green Valley. I mean, they beat a good basic team. They won Henderson Bowl. Hats off to them. They could be 9-2 when the playoffs start, or 8-2, or 7-2.
They held Arborview scoreless for a whole half. And Arborview, it's not like they're bringing in stiffs. They got like six kids that can run the ball.
Yeah, in Arborview's defense, so they can't throw the ball from me to you. So if you know they're going to run every time, load up and tackle. And Green Valley does have about three kids it could put. Green Valley's good defensively. Won't take that away.
All right. Well, I guess we'll agree to disagree.
But we'll take Centennial against DO.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Centennial is going to beat Desert Oasis. Maybe closer than you think, but I like the Bulldogs here. Legacy at Bonanza.
Is this the first game we differ on?
We're not different on many games lately, so maybe. Who you got?
I take Bonanza, and here's my theory. I think Legacy has got the Gorman hangover. They lost 70-0 to Gorman last week. They had a lot of kids not play, not dress, and they're realizing that even if we play to the best of our ability, we're not going to win the state championship. Our dreams are over. There's no way we could compete with Gorman. And they have that hangover now, and I think that Bonanza is going to be able to get in and steal one. Just my opinion. I think Bonanza is an underdog. I think Legacy should win big. But I've got my theory, the Gorman hangover theory.
All right, decent theory, but I don't see
decent
it.
Decent theory.
Yeah, it's decent.
That's
I didn't
great
say
theory.
It's bad. I didn't say it's negative.
I think you should say excellent theory.
All right, excellent theory. There you go. Legacy all the way here. I got Legacy big. Going to disagree on this game. Maybe not too big, but at least two touchdowns. Should we make this our $5 game of the week? I don't think you're confident enough.
How many points are you going to give me?
Ooh, it's at Bonanza, though.
Okay.
13?
You're going to give me plus 13.
Yeah.
I'll take it for five.
All right, plus 13. I'm up $10 on the year. We didn't do one last week.
We just high-fived.
Yeah, we didn't do one last week, but I'm up $10, trying to get to 15. Moapa Valley at Boulder City. I think you already kind of teased your pick that you think the Pirates should not have many problems.
Yeah, I think Moapa Valley's a head and shoulders better than anybody in the Division 1A. I can't believe I'm saying that because I thought Cheyenne would roll through them. Everybody without breaking a sweat. I remember when Milo Lewis scored the first time he touched the ball against Desert Pines, and I was sitting there laughing, saying, I told everybody that Cheyenne was unstoppable, that Milo Lewis is going to be a beast and dominate the league.
Well, he is a beast.
He is, and he's dominating, but the other 10 aren't helping him out much.
Yeah, well, the other 10 actually did play pretty decent last week, but I've got Moapa Valley. I think they'll beat Cheyenne when they eventually play, and I think they'll beat Boulder City here. I think it's going to be closer, though. Maybe we should have made this our $5 game. What would you make the line in this at Boulder City?
11. Moapa Valley, 11.
No, I had to have more than 11. On to the next game. We both got Moapa Valley more than 11. Clark at Western. I know you are really looking forward to this one. No pun intended. You think this could be competitive?
I think it can be. Two schools that were powers back in the day. Western, despite its deficiencies, last week they threw three pick sixes against Mojave. They do like to air it out and score. I think they could put some points up against Clark. Clark hasn't won yet. This might be the only game they can. I take the Chargers, but I think it'll be close.
Next game, I've got Clark too. Sorry.
That's
not
okay
to skip this game. I don't think it's going to be close. I think Clark wins pretty easily. I think there's a big
Clark
gap.
Clark.
I think
you think Clark is going to win big.
Hey, who did Western lose by 40 to? Sunrise Mountain, right?
Bro,
my point.
Western is not that good. I'd take Sunrise Mountain against Clark.
I don't know. Close
probably
game. Do they play?
They don't. They're in opposite leagues.
Too bad. All right. I'm going Clark. I wanted to take an upset in this next one. I think that I'm just not going to be able to pull the trigger. Mojave at Cheyenne. Why don't you break this game down for me? Because I can't decide. I'm thinking maybe picking Mojave here.
My friend Tristan over at the RJ compared Flanagan, the sophomore tailback at Mojave, to Reggie Bullock, the Las Vegas high, great running back. Flanagan, just a sophomore, scores a lot. I think Mojave's big deal is they're not disciplined enough and they commit too many turnovers. And I think Cheyenne could exploit that. I don't think Mojave's got an answer for Milo Lewis. And even though Mojave kept it close last year against Cheyenne, I think this game will follow a similar script and Cheyenne will be victorious.
Why not? I'll take Mojave. We got to be different on some games, right?
Well, give me some reasoning.
I think that Mojave, I think they might be a little bit more – I think they can run their offense, pick up 4 or 5 yards of play, run down some time. I think they play pretty good defense.
Mojave's getting better. Its problem is turnovers, mistakes, penalties. You know, I think in the first half against last week against Western case, Western, you're familiar with Western, right? In the first half last week against Western, they had like 7 penalties for 81 yards.
Yeah, that's a problem. And I know this is a huge reach, but I'm going to take Mojave.
So is Bonanza.
Yeah, that's true. So we're even now with that. Pahrump Valley at Faith Lutheran.
Faith Lutheran wins good passing attack.
Faith Lutheran wins good passing attack. I agree. Virgin Valley at Desert Pines. This is a pretty interesting game. I've got Virgin Valley in this game. I think they've shown a little bit more than the Jaguars this year.
I tell you what, Desert Pines to me, I still think has the horses where they could make an impact in this Division 1A race. I've been minorly disappointed of how they've had such a rough go this season. I think this is when they start piecing it together. They're starting to get the win under them. Give me the Jags.
All right, we'll differ on that one. We're probably not going to differ on this last one. Sunrise Mountain at Chaparral. Those Chaparral Cowboys been in the weight room hitting it hard.
And I am hit a C-H-A-P-A-R-L-A-L. Boom, boom.
I think you're spelling that wrong,
I always do. Did I tell you that Chaparral might be having an alumni soccer game and I've been invited to play?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. You should do it.
I'm so out of shape, though.
Do you have any shin pads?
I don't have any cleats or shin pads. I don't think I'd wear them. I think I'd play like 5 minutes. Maybe they'd have a barbecue afterward, or maybe they'd give us some shirts. But here's the deal. Would I wear the championship ring?
Yes.
Because I was the only one that got one of those rings. I had it specially made.
No one else got one?
No.
Wow. Yeah,
I told you, I met the guy at a state – the Jostens guy at a state championship game. Those rings cost like $150. I'm like, $150, I wear it. It's a great intro with the kids. And then I've worn it out a few times, all gaudy looking. People are like, oh, did you play in the Super Bowl? I take the Cowboys. They're a better team. Listen, they beat Sunrise Mountain last year, too.
I agree. Chaparral all the way. Prep Sports Now, that does it for another edition brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Thanks for listening.